Ricciardo, this is David Coulthard.
Hi, this is Daniel Ricciardo.
Sebastian Vettel, you're listening to the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast.
You've done it, style, fantastic, you're a four-time world champion. You joined the greats, well done.
You did it, yes.
Can I do donuts?
Donuts will not be required, thank you.
Take that as a yes then.
We're back from the summer break. Hello and welcome to the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast. It's round 12 of the 2014 Formula One World Championship. When you ask drivers and fans to name their favourite race circuit, Spa-Francorchamps is 9 times out of 10 top of the list. Set in the beautiful Ardennes Forest and with a heady mix of long straights and demanding corners, dramatic climbs and falls, plus some notoriously fickle weather, Spa has it all. On this edition of the podcast, we speak to Christian Horner, Sebastian Buemi and Adrian Newey. Plus, we hear an exclusive mix from DJ E-Rock. But let's start with this incredible race here today. Daniel Ricciardo took a superb third win of the season at Spa-Francorchamps to take the team's 50th Grand Prix win. In so doing, he became the first Australian since Jack Brabham in 1960 to win the Belgian Grand Prix. Here he is after the race.
Feels a bit surreal again, I guess. Especially around here, Spa, you know, everyone was saying, oh, you just won't really have a chance around here and whatever. But I think we had some really good pace today and surprised ourselves. But yeah, another win. It's very cool. It was difficult. I guess when you're the leader as well, you always feel like you're the most vulnerable when it comes to maybe a pit stop or not and what to do. But basically Simon, my engineer, came on the radio and said, you know, I think 11 laps left, you know, can these tyres get to the end? And I said, yeah, I think I can keep more or less this pace. And we were able to. And the last lap got a couple more tenths out of it. So I was just having a bit of fun then. There's been a lot of good things, you know, from the win today. Obviously, the last two came from a more aggressive style of race. But today was more, let's say, calculated. I don't mean to talk myself up, but if it's sounded like that, I'm sorry. But it was nice to win under different circumstances. Yeah.
Nico Rosberg came second after contact with his teammate in the early stages of the race. Finns Valtteri Bottas and Kimi Räikkönen came in third and fourth. And Sebastian Vettel fought his way to fifth place, winning another titanic battle in the closing stages as he passed McLaren's Jenson Button, Ferrari's Fernando Alonso and the second McLaren of Kevin Magnussen in the final three laps. Here is Seb after the race.
Disappointed because we didn't have the speed. The car was very similar to Saturday morning. So yesterday morning in dry conditions it was bad. In the wet, I think there's a lot of things you can cover, but we didn't have the pace, full stop. I was trying to put Lewis under pressure. Obviously we were geared and set up for a straight line, which was good all race, but tires were a bit colder than I expected, and when I hit the brakes, basically they locked, so I had to go wide. I lost the position to Nico. Lap 2 was quite good to see them touching each other, gave some hope, but very soon after that I realised that I just simply don't have the speed today.
The win here today marks Adrian Newey's 150th win in Formula 1. Katie spoke to him back at the factory to find out what it means to him.
Okay, Adrian, so here we are back at the factory. A great result in Spa at the weekend. There's been a lot of discussion about the setup that we had on the cars and the skinny rear wing. Just tell me how the team came up with the idea.
We discussed it out in the build-up to the weekend, and then as the weather forecast became clear for the weekend, it's going to be wet on Saturday for qualifying, but dry for the race was very much the forecast. We debated what wing level we should run. Clearly for the wet in qualifying, then we should run high wing with the low grip conditions. But we felt that then in the race we would be very exposed to being overtaken and wouldn't be able to go forwards. In fact, we stood the risk of going backwards in the race if we did that. The alternative was to go for a very low wing level, except that we wouldn't qualify very well, but be in a position where we could hopefully make up places in the race. So when we actually managed to qualify third and fifth on the grid, that was a very pleasant surprise and set us up well for the race.
And when you went for that design, did you think with that you might be able to win, or was that still a long way off in your eyes?
No, to be perfectly honest, you went into the weekend thinking it was going to be damage limitation. As well documented, then we're a bit down on power at the moment, and so we thoughts it was going to be difficult to be truly competitive at Spa. That was, again, a part of that decision to run the very low wing level, that the only way to be competitive on straight line speed was to be very low on wing.
Okay, and the win that we got there actually marked your 150th in Formula One, which is something very special. How does it feel to reach that landmark?
Very special, actually. I'm not somebody who really sits there counting Grand Prix wins, but I was aware that sort of landmark was coming up somewhere around now, so to actually get there, yeah, it seems amazing that if I look back on my career, sort of, you know, when I first got my job, first job in motor racing, then as a junior aerodynamicist, never dreamt of sort of being in charge of the design of the IndyCar when I was at March. Eventually achieved that, and so then being in charge of Formula One car design with March later in the 80s, it was a dream in itself to actually then go on to win championships, and 150 wins is it doesn't seem like it's me almost.
And do you remember your first Formula One win?
Very much so. It was Mexico in 1991. We'd actually, with the Williams that year, been competitive in the early races, and Canada, the race that was previous to Mexico, looked as if you're going to have a very commanding win in Montreal, with Nigel Mansell almost a lap ahead when he had that famous incident of waving to the crowd at the hairpin and forgetting to change down. And so what was looking like my first win up until about 30 seconds before the flags became completely demoralising. I remember sitting in the back of the garage thinking, what have I got to do to actually be involved in the car that's won a race, or be responsible for the car that's won the race? And that was quite demoralising, but we had Mexico a week later and it came right.
Great, and we're over the halfway point of this season now, but looking back to this season, has there been a highlight for you or something that sticks out in the memory?
I think very much the first win in Montreal. I mean, our three wins this year have arguably been a little bit opportunistic, with Mercedes having some sort of problem. But the fact is we've always been there to take full advantage of any hiccups that they've had. And that first win in Montreal was a very unexpected win. You know, it looked like this could have been a winless year for us. So to get that pleasant surprise on Sunday afternoon in Montreal was a tremendous high.
Well done, Adrian. Now, this Spa-Francorchamps track is one that's loved by drivers and many of the people involved with Formula One. Rich went to speak to our reserve driver, Sebastian Buemi.
Sebastian, how are you doing? Nice summer break. 2 weeks off. Did you get up to anything? And it's also good to be back in Spa, such a historical track.
Yes, really happy, obviously, to be back in the business now with the next race. You know, it's going to be a long season still, but looking, you know, forward to a great end to the season. And yeah, the summer break was quite good. It was a tough year so far, but you know, again, looking forward to the rest.
And I mean, Spa, a great way to kickstart the second half of the season. Such a historical racetrack. So many good memories here for the team and for Formula One in general. What makes this place so special?
I think, first of all, the layout of the circuit is fantastic. You've got a lot of impressive corners like Eau Rouge or Blanchiment. And for all the drivers, it's one of the favorite circuits. So I think, you know, it's always great here. The weather is always a bit strange here in Spa, but it's also part of the weekend, and hopefully we'll get the most out of it.
As we go into the second half of the season, we got a new addition in the Russian Grand Prix coming into the calendar. Some real classic and cool races. What are some of your favourites? Which ones excite you and the fans should keep a careful eye on?
To be honest, I think Monza and Suzuka together with the Brazilian race are the most classic ones, and everyone loves to go there. But with the new ones like Austin and Sochi, everyone's looking forward to go there and discover this new place. So, you know, really looking forward to the rest of the season. There will be a lot of interesting races for sure.
Just when it comes to your racing, you were doing a lot of testing lately for Formula E, and I believe that the season kicks off in Beijing the second week of September. Are you looking forward to that?
Yes, really looking forward to this championship. I'm going to be with Edam's Renault, and you know, we had a lot of testing so far. It went very well for us, so we are quite confident we can be competitive in Beijing for the first race on the 13th of September. And there is something really special in this championship called the Fan Boost. Basically, the fans can go on the FIA FormulaE.com homepage and vote for their favorite driver, and the three drivers with the most votes will get a power boost of 5 seconds with a 50
horsepower advantage for 5 seconds. So it's definitely, interesting to have this extra power.
Also, some big news the last couple of weeks with the Red Bull Junior team. A new driver on board, Max Verstappen, and he's going to be racing for Toro Rosso next year. Can you give the fans a bit more information about Max?
He's done some very impressive stuff. You know, there is not so many drivers jumping from karting straight to Formula 3, and he's done that, and he's won a lot of races so far, so he's definitely a very talented driver. So looking forward to see what he's going to do in an F1 car, and knowing Toro Rosso and Red Bull, they will do everything they need to prepare him well and make sure he's competitive at the first race next year in Melbourne.
With Formula E kick-starting in the next couple of weeks, a lot of Formula 1 fans aren't too familiar with this. Can you explain how they can watch the races and stuff?
Yes, so it's going to be on a lot of channels like ITV4 and for England, and Fox for America and the rest of the world. So it's definitely going to be something innovative. It's a completely fully electric car, so people are not really used to see that. But we will have two cars per driver. We'll have to jump from one car to the other after 20 minutes to achieve the race distance, and it's going to be fun, I think. So looking forward to see what people think about that.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to chat to us today, and good luck in the first race.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
So we're fresh back from the summer break, and there's still a long way to go with some incredible races still to come this season. Lindsay went to speak to some of the team to find out what they're looking forward to most.
Stuart Jones, senior composite technician. One of the races I'm really looking forward to this year is Singapore. It's a great spectacle for the fans and an awesome challenge for the team. Also, the week after, we have a little holiday in Thailand, so that makes it even better.
Hi, my name's Dominic Santoro. I'm a race team garage technician. The race I'm most looking forward to for the rest of the year is Austin. Reason being, the show and atmosphere in and out of the track for me is the best of the year, and that's my reason.
Hi, my name is Olaf Janssen. I'm a trackside infrastructure engineer. The race I'm looking forward to the most for the rest of the season is Singapore, because it's a night race. It's different to all the rest, so it's quite exciting.
Hi, my name is Nick Gibbs. I'm the trackside IT support engineer. The race I'm most looking forward to next will be Austin, I think, because it's just got a fantastic atmosphere. It's brilliant fun.
Hi, I'm Nigel Hope, the senior garage technician at Infinity Red Bull Racing. The race I'm most looking forward to is Abu Dhabi, last race of the year. It's an awesome place, lovely climate. Nice place to finish up.
My name's Paul. I'm the number 2 mechanic on Sebastian's car. The race I'm most looking forward to for the rest of the season is Austin, just because I love America.
Tim Spencer, engine kitter. Looking forward to Brazil the most, because I get to eat lots of meat.
My name is Simon Mickleborough, number 2 mechanic. I'm looking forward to going to America next, probably just because it's my favourite race.
Joe Robinson, number 1 mechanic on Seb's car. And Texas is my favourite race for the end of the season. The nightlife's fantastic. And the circuit's a pretty decent facility to work at.
My name is John Hammond. I'm the team physiotherapist. The race I'm most looking forward to is Sochi, because it's a new race. It'll be very interesting to see what goes on.
Hi, my name is Graham Woodin. I'm race team spares and lifing controller. The race I'm most looking forward to this year is Singapore. One of the reasons is my other half's coming out to it, and we've got a nice 6-day break afterwards in Koh Samui.
All in all, a very successful weekend for the team here. The final word, as usual, goes to our leader, Christian Horner. Katie spoke to him back at the factory.
Hey Christian, so we come away from Spa with our third win of the season. Did you imagine we could ever get that going into the race?
In all honesty, no. I thought if we could fight for a podium there would be an amazing result. But, both the drivers qualified incredibly well, and, after the first couple of laps and the get-together between the two Mercedes drivers, then it was really game on from there, and Daniel just drove another outstanding race. I mean, he looked in control at all times. So the first two races he's won have been sort of last couple of laps. Now he's led one pretty much from start to finish.
And how was he after the race?
The usual Daniel, he had a smile from ear to ear. I should think he's still got it today. And, winning at one of the marquee circuits like Spa is a great thing to have on his CV. So it was a tremendous result, and, great for the team to get their 50th Grand Prix victory as well.
And Seb had a great last couple of laps, and he did 3 overtakes, I think it was. Just to explain how his weekend went.
Well, Seb's, weekend just didn't get off to a great start. We had first practice, a spark plug failure, which then eliminated him from all Friday running, and then he's really relying on the other car for the data for the race, and so he didn't get a chance to do his own setup for the long runs, which, you know, for sure has an effect on Sunday afternoon. But he never had the right feeling from the car throughout the race. We were just out of the window with our setup, and you know, we've got to do a better job in giving Seb a car that he can make real use of for a whole Grand Prix. He did a great job in qualifying, you know, qualified third in really tricky conditions, you know, big first lap from him as well, almost taking the lead at the top of the hill, you know, and then obviously his overtaking moves in the last part of the race were fantastic as he fought his way back up to fifth place.
And that was the team's 50th win in Spa. From those 50, do you have a favourite out of those?
Well, the first one's always special, but there's been some fantastic wins out of those 50 on the way, whether it was the race in Abu Dhabi that Seb won to win his world championship, whether it was, you know, winning the British Grand Prix, whether it was winning in Monte Carlo, you know, with Mark and then Sebastian when we put the wrong tyres on the car. You know, there's been some fantastic victories, and, you know, it's all testimony to the hard work that has gone in here in Milton Keynes, and you know, that within 10 years we've achieve 50 victories is an absolutely phenomenal achievement, and one that every member of the team certainly is very proud of.
And then in a couple of weeks we're in Monza. What can we expect from that race?
Well, our wing in Spa was about as small as you would imagine the wings to be in Monza, so I think for Monza we're probably going to take the wing off. You know, maybe we shouldn't fear it as much as we feared Spa, so you know, it demonstrates that anything can happen, you just never know. And for all the lucky people that put a bet on Daniel at 30-1, not a lot of people believe that we could win that race, and to have offered us that result before the weekend, we would have absolutely, you know, bitten your arm off.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast. For all the latest team news, pictures, and to browse the shop, check out the website redbullracing.com. We'll leave you with an exclusive teaser mix from DJ E-Rock. If you want to hear the full hour-long version, make sure you check out the team's SoundCloud. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time with all the coverage from the next race in Monza. Until then, take care.
Another day in a different world. I do believe that this is real. I dance and sing instead of walk and talk. Know that time would heal. And I changed my view from all angles. Ain't afraid of no one's eye. Maybe we should, maybe we don't. Maybe we giving this a try. Won't you come with me? Right in the dark. Won't you come with me? Right to the start. Won't you come with me?
Won't you come with me? Right in the night. golden grand piano, my beauty focus me on you. Ooh, you, ooh, I leave it all. My acres of a land I've achieved, it may be hard for you to stop and believe, but for you, ooh, you, ooh, I leave it all. Ooh, for you, ooh, you, ooh, I leave it all. Give me one reason why I should never make a change. So much if you take my hand, but for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd lose it all. Ooh, for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd lose it all.
sun will never rise. Far away, far away, in a place with marmalade skies. Far away, far away, in a land where the sun will hide its eyes. Far away, far away, in a place with marmalade skies. And all alone she moves into a broken paradise surrounded by the calling lights. All alone she moves into a paradise without day and without night. We'll be right back.
focuses of today and tomorrow. I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream.
Sons of former slaves and the